Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So, we hear at the end of the first gospel that was read that the kingdom of heaven is near, it's come upon us. In the gospel of St. Luke, the evangelist speaks about the kingdom of God, and then clearly it's the same, very same concept. And basically, what Adam and Eve experienced in the Garden of Paradise is they experienced the continuous love of our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ. That love came upon them as light. And in this light, they radiated out the grace and glory of God throughout paradise. And everything was in order. This is what's so remarkable. Everything was in order. And St. John of Damascus speaks about it, that the work of Adam and Eve was to lay all care upon God. And by laying all care upon God, God shined his light upon Adam and Eve, and the light came into their mind and heart, which was the unity prior to the fall. And it radiated out upon all things before them. And everything flourished without complication. And then, of course, we have the remarkable event of the fall. There was an obedience given to Adam and Eve not to eat of the tree in the midst of the garden. And with the warning that if they did, they would die. And along comes Satan into the picture. And convinces Eve that no, you will not die, but you will know, you'll have the knowledge of good and evil. And so she ate, and Adam ate, and there was an immediate transformation of their being, where the powers of darkness came into them and invaded, as it were, their heart and their mind. And so it is, they experienced really the departure, the exile, as it were, from paradise. And this, of course, is the foundation, the beginning of our teaching and our understanding in the Holy Faith. Because from the time of Adam and Eve to our own time, there is a battle within us. And the battle is between, on the one hand, our love of God and our knowledge of his glory and his goodness. And on the other hand, so many difficult passions, our passions of anger and our passions of carnality and lust and our passions of greed. And of course, the list goes on and on. And so it is, we have this battle within us, this war. That has become part of us. And the question is, what is the solution? And the solution is that we restore, that we, through the grace of God, that we enter into the process of being restored, I should say, in the image and likeness of God. And it's very fascinating because the holy apostles witnessed the preaching and teaching of our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ. And very clearly they heard his words. But the gospel, in a sense, while words are required to communicate the structure of the message, the real message is the power of the Holy Spirit coming forth and entering into our hearts and minds and transforming us and changing us, to heal us, as it were, to turn us away from darkness into light, and to participate through the holy mysteries of the Church, to participate in his glory, and through his glory to be healed. And it is through this process that the kingdom of God is established. And as you've heard me say many times, it's not a socio-political entity, it is a spiritual state. Namely, the kingly power of God begins to become active and radiate from us. And as I've said many, many times before, the miracle of the conversion of the Roman Empire, the Christianization of the Roman Empire, could not have happened if the apostles and their successors did not have a unique and profound power. And the question is, what must we do in order to be, as it were, reformed and regenerated in his image and likeness, so that we can become mediators of this kingly power, this power which was given to the holy apostles, and then to the holy church, and through the church, through its mysteries. And I think that the first thing is we have to discover faith. We need to have faith. And we can say in a simple, I believe. But faith is much more than believing. Faith is a total, complete commitment to the way and the word and to the truth of our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ, and the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in Trinity. And it's faith is something that it's literally a way of knowing, even. And the question is, well, what kind of faith is this? How do we have this faith? And people, I think, we talk about the Christian faith, and we can tell about, we talk about the various doctrines and the examples and the miracles and the stories and so on. And we think of this as faith. And in a sense, it is faith, but it's the external part of faith. Faith is this inner disposition. We return our hearts and minds toward God. And if we are going to participate, as it were, in the at least the restoration of our own inner life, and insofar as it's possible, the restoration of the experience of the kingdom of God within our own community, we must have faith. And it seems so intangible. Well, what is this faith? And it is really a total commitment to our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ. And I think one of the things we see in the great saints, certainly in our Saint John the Russian, who gave his entire life to prayer. We see it in Saint Serafim Sarov, who gave his holy life completely to prayer. And we see it, I think, in the apostles, who gave their life totally to our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ, and to the point where they died for their faith. And yet here we are. Do we have faith? And I think this faith is it's literally a way of knowing. And we have this beautiful teaching of the Jesus prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. And what's amazing is that the Holy Fathers, who received through divine inspiration this prayer, understood that in order to achieve faith, that is, standing with complete attention and without distraction in the presence of God, we have to gather our inner life. And I know that I've used the image before, but here's the Christmas tree. And I've seen Christmas trees with blinking lights. I don't particularly like blinking lights on Christmas trees, but I've seen them. And I thought, well, this is a wonderful image, actually. It's kind of like our inner life. And each little bulb takes energy. And each little bulb represents various thoughts and considerations that we have each and every day. And as those bulbs blink, they take the energy away from our inner life. And the truth of the matter is, I think, that our minds are profoundly distracted. We're thinking about so many different things all at the same time. And it's as though the mind is like a circle that goes around and around, and these lights keep blinking. And of course, what's happening is the lights are powered by energy, and they're powered by our energy, an energy that needs to be transformed and sanctified and cleansed and purified by, as it were, presenting ourselves to God. And so what happens with the Jesus prayer, which has been taught to us from the very beginning, is that we say, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy upon me. And immediately you can hear this. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, is the confession of faith. Have mercy upon me, a sinner, is a statement of our own inner state on the one hand, namely that we're sinful, and it's a statement of humility. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. And what's fascinating about it, and what's taught by the tradition of the Holy Church, is that if we try to practice this prayer, and we have these prayer ropes, some of us, and we use them, and for each time we go, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. And we touch it. The reason we touch it, it actually draws the attention of our senses, our feeling, to the prayer. And what we're attempting to do is to take the energy that is being dissipated by all of the thoughts that race through our minds and take it away and bring it back to the very center of our being so that we can present ourselves not as a fragmented consciousness, but as a unified consciousness in faith and humility. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, confession of faith, have mercy upon me, a sinner. A confession of who we are before him in humility. And so what happens is the Holy Fathers who practice the Jesus Prayer, I know that we have this wonderful book, The Way of the Pilgrim, and the pilgrim went from church to church because he saw that St. Paul taught that you should pray unceasingly, continuously pray. And the pilgrim went to various priests and they didn't know what he was talking about, so he kept going. He had the five books of the Philokalia and the Bible with him, and he carried them in his bag, and he would go to various places. And finally, he found a spiritual father who taught him the Jesus Prayer. And why? Because it's a way of concentrating. And you think about even the way our mind works, there's this constant back and forth between here and now, what we're going to see in the future, what's going to happen in the next few minutes, in the next hour, and what happened in the past. Yet another fragmentation of our consciousness. And all of this takes energy and it dissipates us. And we need to bring this energy to one place in the prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy upon me. And we have to practice it to a point where we actually can reach a state where our mind actually remains still. It just is clear, it's still, and it contemplates the presence of God. And in this, there is great peace. Because, let's face it, we understand, we get when things that keep coming at us, the difficulties, and just common things of our life, we can be assaulted with so many different things that we just almost melt down, as it were, in frustration and confusion because it's so much. Can you imagine if we could just take all of that energy and just focus it on prayer and on the presence of our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ? And if we could do this, then we would have inner peace. And with inner peace, we would gain discernment. Discernment is very, very necessary. We need to know what it is that we should attend to and what it is that we should turn away from. We need discernment. And if we're constantly overcome by all these distractions, how does one discern? On the other hand, imagine if you could have just a few moments where you are actually concentrated and in the presence of God in your concentration, and then you would be able to discern. You would have the power to see what it is that, as it were, destroys your concentration and what it is that builds it up. And you can make decisions. We can take our goodwill that has been given to us and we can focus it on those things which build up our inner life, those things which draw us near to our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ. And we need this. This is why God gave us tools. This is why he gave us the holy mysteries and the sacraments. because we need them. We need the food of salvation. We need the instruction that guides us on the path to awareness so that we can know. And what's so amazing for the Holy Fathers is as they achieve this concentration and we're able to block out all the distractions and push them away, they began to see a light, a warm, precious light. They began to see the light of God. And it's very interesting. It's like a morning sun. It rises up and it's dark. And all of us have had these times where we've been up really early and perhaps we've been on the edge of the ocean, or some of us have been on top of a mountain, and it's pitch black. And then little by little we see the rosy dawn peeking up over the horizon, and it becomes brighter and brighter. And then the sun just comes a little bit up and it starts to come upon us and to lift us up. And the experience of this very worldly event, this type of experience, which is of the world and of our senses, happens internally in the lives of those who pursue the knowledge of God. Not the things, not the concepts. We accept the concepts. That's wonderful. We absolutely accept them. We're going to defend them with our life. But that's knowledge about God. It's knowledge about the state, as it were, of the church. What we need to have is an intimate knowledge of God, where his presence penetrates us. And it's like that rising sun. In the prayer, there's this luminosity that can happen. And the saints of God experience this light, like the rising of the sun, which as days and years went on in their lives, and they practiced being present in the moment, in the name of our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ, in the inner state of humility and concentration, the light grew brighter every day. And that is the kingdom of God. It is the kingly power of God that entered into their hearts and radiated up from them and transformed the lives of those around them. And you know, this transformation cannot happen solely from the outside. Yes, we need to have the basic tenets of our holy faith and the protection of the church, and we need to have the holy mysteries. But it doesn't happen solely from, it has to happen inwardly, where we become radiant and messengers of his light. So, brothers and sisters in Christ our God, on this very beautiful day, almost to the end of the feast of Holy Theophany, Christ was baptized and the Holy Trinity was made manifest in his baptism, let us rejoice that we have a context in which we live where the teachings of the Holy Fathers are present to us and we are able to find our way. We need to find our way to Christ. We need to eliminate all these distractions. Can you imagine what happened to poor Adam and Eve after their fall? And they entered into this world of confusion, and the passions raged within them, even into the killing of their son Abel by Cain. And in a sense, that's the life that we live. We live in this life of total chaos. And yet, through the Holy Church and through prayer, we have the opportunity to stand in his presence and stand in his glory. It takes a lot of work. It takes an enormous commitment. And it takes, really, fundamentally, faith. We must actually believe with all our heart, all our mind, all our soul, all our strength, that we can enter into the presence of God and know him in the most deep, inner, and personal way. We're literally knowing him as the penetration of his light and of his glory into our lives so that we become beacons of light to others. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.